Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
NBC dropped a reunion special of the sitcom 30 Rock on its streaming service Peacock today, and it's as much of a commercial as it is a comedy. Let's listen.
Kenneth is presenting all of NBC Universal's new content to advertisers tomorrow. The stakes have literally never been higher. He's got to sell a full year of ads in one meeting.
Thank God it's him. And thank God advertisers are some of the smartest and most physically attractive people this industry has ever seen.
This special was supposed to broadcast on TV stations last night, but many of them boycotted it. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to explain. And Eric, why was there a boycott? Why did so many stations refuse to air this 30 Rock special?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it's sort of wrapped up in how broadcast television works. Mm-hmm. You know, under the very traditional, old-school way of broadcasting television, a network like NBC creates programming, and then it sends it out to a network of individual local TV stations across the country that then broadcast it to their communities. So, you know, some of these companies decided that they did not want to air the 30 Rock special that was being sent to them by NBC because it's essentially a promotional vehicle to tell people about this new Peacock streaming service that NBC has created. The thing that's different about Peacock is that there's a tier of the service that's free because you can just agree to watch commercials. Well, the local affiliates are saying, that's what we do. You know,
right,
we
right.
present NBC programming with ads for free to people. And so I think there's a little bit of an internal friction there between the companies that own the affiliates and NBC, which is establishing this sort of direct connection with viewers that they previously weren't as aggressive about pursuing.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do stations have any leverage to influence networks? I used to work in local television, and so I understand how much emphasis is put on that affiliation. It seems like networks are only going to be more invested in streaming.
Yeah, because, you know, we're reaching a point, and I'm sure you saw it when you were in the business, you know, every year, traditional TV viewing is going down further and further. People are not necessarily turning to a local affiliate to see that NBC programming. They may be going to NBC.com. They may be going to YouTube. They may be going to Peacock. Now, I think the local affiliate is still very important, and that's why this friction is worth keeping an eye on. Because, you know, affiliates for other networks are facing similar pressures. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a CBS affiliate and there's this thing called CBS All Access that's a streamer that has a lot of CBS content on it and people can subscribe to that instead of watching your station, you know, there's a natural tension there. So that tendency of people to stop watching broadcast and go to streaming services is even accelerated even more because of the pandemic. And so all these things are kind of coming together and it's making for an issue that the TV industry has to deal with. And I'm not quite sure how it's going to turn out.
Eric, I want to talk to you about some other news as well. We've seen a wave of petitions and resignations over so-called cancel culture. There was a letter signed by author J.K. Rowling, among many others, for example, that condemned it. But that criticism sometimes overlooks the reasons people are calling for change in the first place. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I'm very skeptical of people who criticize the excesses of what they call cancel culture, because I think a lot of what people name as sort of examples of this, it's really examples where media outlets have been asked for a long period of time to change their behavior, and they don't. And then it gets to the point where the audience or the staff at the organization draw a line in the sand and say they won't take it anymore. People have, for example, looked at the way James Bennett, who used to be the op-ed editor at the New York Times, you know, how he was forced to resign his job. Well, people had complained about the way he was giving certain conservative voices more latitude to say things that might be at odds with journalistic tradition at the New York Times. And then when he published an op-ed that had untrue elements in it that he hadn't even read, you know, he didn't have a leg to stand on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tucker Carlson on Fox News saw his lead writer have to resign because the guy was anonymously posting racist comments online. I mean, you know, there is no world in which that is defensible for someone who works at a cable news channel. Mm-hmm. I would hope that it would be a lesson to media outlets to pay attention to their critics, and that when people raise an issue, don't let the scandal get to the point where someone has to lose a job. You know, be more transparent about what you're doing. Correct actions when you can before the controversy, you know, comes to a head. And of course, I hate bullying online. I hate bullying on social media. And I don't like the idea of a mob mentality going after everything that they might view as some sort of violation of an orthodoxy or way of thinking. But I think in a lot of these situations, it's a situation where the institution has been asked to change and it has ignored those calls for change. And then it gets to the point where people who oppose them have to ratchet up what they're asking for just to get the institution to pay attention.
That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, as always, thank you.
Always a pleasure.